Thank you, Mr. Garvin. I see they have the microphone down here for both of us. Welcome to our guests today. Appreciate you coming all the way down here to be with us. I think most of us here at one time or another in our years in the church have heard a message on being thankful. I know I gave a sermonette a while back on being thankful, and then about 3 years ago we had a split sermon by Dan Miller on the attitude of gratitude. I wonder how many of you remember when Mr. Armstrong talked about going to a church. I think this was probably before but he went to a church and there was a contest going on, and the Bible was the prize, and the question was asked, what is the most common sin committed by the largest number of people? Remember him talking about that? And he said that some lady answered the sin of ingratitude. And he kind of agreed that that probably was one of the greatest sins. Maybe not the greatest, but one of them. The message today is not about gratitude, but I have a few quotes about gratitude. John F. Kennedy, he said, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words. We've all heard, and I remember hearing when I was a kid, talk is cheap. He says, it's the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Then Henri Frédéric Amiel, he was a Swiss philosopher, poet and critic. He was born in Switzerland and died in, or he was born in 1821 and died in 1881. But I like what he had to say about gratitude. He said, thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude. Gratitude is the completion of thankfulness. Thankfulness may consist merely of words, but gratitude is shown in acts. I have one more. It's a song. I'm not going to sing it. It says, oh, I've got a whole new attitude, a lifetime subscription to gratitude. Friend, you've got to change your latitude with an attitude of gratitude. I am grateful for the life I am living. Who knows how long I will have it. I am thankful for all I've been giving. We'll make appreciation a habit. That's by SpongeBob SquarePants. So the title of the message today is The Epitome of Ingratitude. Epitome is spelled just like it sounds, E-P-I-T-O-M-E, and it just means a perfect example. So we're going to look at a couple examples of ingratitude from the New Testament. I'm going to read a few verses. We won't turn to them. I think everybody is familiar with them. It says, John, in the book of John, it says that Jesus, referring to Jesus, that he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus was a Jew, and he came to the Jewish community. So they did not receive him. Another place, John says, then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and nation. So we know all the stories where the Pharisees and the high priests, they try to stop Jesus, and they were so upset about some of the miracles that he was performing. But they were afraid they were going to lose their place, their position. And one more I'll read here, that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We, the Pharisees, the high priest, they've seen all these miracles that he was performing. People were receiving, blind people were receiving their sight. Deaf people would hear, even the dead were brought back to life. says, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So they knew it. But they did not want to listen to him. They didn't even want him around. Actually, they wanted to put him to death. Let's turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 17. Well, we'll start in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner. So each year at Passover, they would release, Pilate would release a prisoner, whomever they wished. Whoever they wanted to be released, he would release them. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, who was a murderer. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. They knew that Jesus was from God. They knew who he was. They read all the prophecies in the Old Testament. But because of envy and jealousy, they wanted him to be put to death. And that's exactly what happened. I have another example I want to look at. This one is yet future. It hasn't even happened yet. Let's look and see who these people are. In Revelation 6, Revelation chapter 6, and we'll start in, we'll just read verse 15. Now this is who they're talking about. And the kings of the earth, so that's the presidents, prime ministers, whatever the leader of a nation is, the main leader, this is talking about the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men. We have a lot of rich men today. The commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man. They hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So here's a group of people that they knew when the wrath was coming and these things were happening, they knew it was from God. They knew it was God that was doing it. Instead of turning around and repenting, which in chapter 9 it talks about those that did not die in these plagues, did not repent. They just would not turn to God, the God who gives them life, the God who sustains their life, the God gives them everything that they have, supplies them with all the food, the home, the clothes, everything. They wouldn't turn to him. For the great gray day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So, here's two groups of people that just had the greatest attitude of ingratitude. They knew who Christ was. At the end, they'll know who God is, and they still will not turn and repent and turn to him. Now, God and Jesus Christ both, they want us to always be grateful for everything that they do for us and everything that they give us. Let's look at one more example. This is the last verse we'll go to in Luke 17. Luke 17, and we'll start in verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now these, those that had leprosy at that time, they were shunned from the population. You know, that was a terrible disease. Now there they were, they stood off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. So Christ had mercy on them. He had compassion on them. Which, how many times have we read in there where Jesus would see somebody that had an illness? Well, one story that just kind of breaks your heart is the young man that died and the funeral was going on and they were carrying him through the streets and the mother was there. He was the only son of the mother. And it says Jesus had compassion on her. And so then he raised the young boy back to life. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And then he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He didn't just say thanks. He bowed down. He had an act. He did something. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Perhaps he knew they wouldn't come back, but he wanted them to. Where are they? Why didn't they come back and glorify God? It says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So in conclusion, I just want to mention that 8 weeks from tomorrow night is Passover. And we are asked each and every year to examine ourselves at Passover time or before the Passover. So in examining myself, think about myself. I ask myself, you know, am I always in an attitude of gratitude? And I have to answer, no. Lots of times I'm in an attitude of ingratitude. When was the last time I ever thanked God for having eyesight? I don't know. Or that I could hear. I don't know that I ever did, really. But we should be thankful for things like that. He gives us everything we have. It all belongs to Him. He owns us. We belong to Him. I want to read Henry Mills quote one more time. Thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude. Gratitude is the completion of thankfulness. Thankfulness may consist merely of words, but gratitude is shown in acts. So before Passover, let's show God how thankful we are for everything He gives us and everything that He does for us.